Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, sin is not a very popular subject in the world. In fact, whenever ministers mention the word sin, in that a lot of times people will become offended. In that, we learn concerning sin is that sin is a violation of the laws that our God has laid down. And the Bible tells us that sin is indeed a universal problem in the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And good people, the Bible tells us also that sin is a very serious problem. Why? Because when God sees people sin, whenever people have sin in their life, then they are separated from the presence of our God. And if they continue with sin in their life, in and throughout the course of their time here, that is, if they pass from this life into eternity and face God guilty of sin, they will be separated from the presence of God throughout all eternity. But you know, the Bible tells us that God loves mankind, John chapter 3 and verse 16, and because of God's love for mankind, God wants so much to have a relationship with man. And because of that, then God sent Jesus into the world to be the Savior of the world. In fact, we understand concerning the life of Christ, as He said in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, I came to seek and to save those who were lost. And Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly laid His life down at Calvary's cross in order to provide a means of redemption for the sins that you and I commit in our life. And our God tells us that because Jesus died at the cross, that God then has established a mode or a means wherein that we can come in contact with the blood of Jesus. And good people, that means is through baptism. The Bible tells us that those who believe and are baptized shall be saved, but those who do not believe shall be lost. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. We understand that those who believe in the Lord will confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. And then whenever they confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, then they will submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And according to what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, whenever people truly put Christ on in baptism, their sins are washed away and they become a part of the church family. Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 and 27. And they are added unto the Lord's church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Good people, whenever we are New Testament Christians, God tells us and God expects us to live a life of sanctification and of honor. What does it mean to be sanctified? Good people, sanctified, to be sanctified literally is to be set apart. I'm reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to anyone or everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Good people, in order for us to be sanctified, we need to understand that the heart is indeed a very vital part of that. Why do I state that? The Proverbs writer in the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The heart defines really and truly who we are. It is not only who we portray ourselves to be, but the heart is that part which God sees. God looks at the heart, and God's able to see really who we are based out of the character of the type of person we are as we go in and throughout the course of our time here. But good people also understand that the heart plays a very important part of becoming a New Testament Christian. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints at Rome, says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Good people, if we truly believe in God, we are going to believe with all of our heart that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And not only that Jesus is the Christ, we're going to believe that our God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. You see, whenever it comes to God's law, God also says that the law and the heart run hand in hand with one another. God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, I will put my law into their heart. He says that concerning the commandments, concerning the things that He wants man to know and to follow according to, He says that these things are sown into the heart. How are they sown into the heart? Good people, through our personal study of God's Word, but also when we gather together as God's people and we have people stand before us and preach and teach the truth of God's message, it is God sowing His law into our heart, into the mind of humanity. But also we understand concerning the heart is that the heart can indeed be a very critical part of judging us while we're here upon the face of this earth. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, we read here, he says, "For if the heart condemns us, God is greater than the heart." And he says that whenever we look at ourselves and whenever the conscience starts to take an effect upon us while we are here, he says, if our heart is condemning us, he says, think not only how this proves that we are wrong, but he says God looks at the heart and he says God's able to see much greater and fuller than what you and I are able to see and to understand. We learn in regard to the love that we must have for God, as what Jesus states in the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Good people, if we want to be sanctified, if we want a relationship truly with our God, we need to love God with every fiber of our being, to make certain that He is number one in our life, to make certain as we examine our life that the things that we do, as we keep His commandments, that we're not doing them from a legalistic standpoint, but rather that we're doing these things because we really and truly love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And good people, whenever it comes to obeying God, you and I need to obey the form of doctrine that our God has laid down for us. Our God has a way, not a multiplicity of ways, for man to come to Him, but our God has a singular way that is given through Jesus Christ our Lord, John chapter 14 and verse 6. And in this, we must keep that form of doctrine exactly as our God commands us to keep it. But understand, as what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning those at Rome, whenever they obeyed the gospel, he says that they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And those who want to obey God today, good people, they need to make certain that they're obeying Him from the heart. That it's just not an, it's not just a demonstration of what it is that they have been taught all of their life. That it's not just a spontaneous response, but rather that it is that they love God and they want to obey Him and they want to please Him with everything that they are made up as they go throughout the course of their life here. Good people, in regard to sanctification, we understand, when we think about that word sanctify, is that sanctification requires separation. Being a child of God involves separation from the world. We learn from the Scriptures that we are called out of the world. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, he says, "Come out from among them and be ye separated." Our God does not want us participating in the things that the world has to offer. In fact, we learn from the Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, that we are not to keep company with those who are on the outside. Well, what does it mean that we are not to keep company with those who are in the world? Good people, it regards that we are not to keep fellowship with these individuals. In fact, God also wants us to understand, as Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 15, that we live in the world, but in no sense must we participate in the things that the world has to offer. In all of this, God says that as we look at the world, that you and I must not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because these things are passing away. And our Lord taught us in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that as we look at laying up treasures, that you and I as Christians must make certain that we are laying up treasures in heaven. That these things that we are seeking to lay up, that we will lay up before our God, so that whenever we stand before God in judgment, that indeed we shall stand faithful as one of His children. In all of this, then, as we are separated from the world, then we are to be consecrated, we are to be drawn, we are to be connected unto our God. The Bible tells us that we are called out of darkness into the marvelous light of our God. And good people, we also learn concerning those at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, that whenever they left their idols, whenever they left and put aside their man-made gods, whenever they separated themselves from the world, that they turned to God. And in turning to God in like figure, then these people would have understood the need to be productive citizens in the kingdom of God. In turning to God, it meant that they would have bared forth fruits worthy of the repentance of which they were claiming the head in their life. But also, in separation from the world, everything that we do must be to the glory and the honor of pleasing our God. We understand concerning sanctification and glorification of our God's name is that whatever we eat or drink, what's He saying here to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31? The people, God says that no matter what we do in life, it ought to bring glory to our God's name. As we are raising our family, we ought to raise them in a way that will glorify God. As we go out and about each and every day out into the workforce, the work that we do, that we are to do before and with those that we are employed with or under, God says that these things need to bring glory and honor unto His name. And even as we're out and about in our everyday walk of life, out in society, the people that are around and about us ought to see that indeed we are true New Testament Christians and that we're not just saying that we are, but that we're striving to live according to the standards that God lays down. And as a result of our life, God is to be glorified. But good people, also, this separation or this sanctification comes at a very high cost. It comes by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Apostle Paul, the Hebrews writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 29 says is that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we understand, as Peter shares with us, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, is that Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross was heaven's eternal plan of redemption. And good people, in order for you and me to truly be sanctified, in order for us to truly be set apart as the people of God, we need to realize that God requires us to be separated. And in the separation, to be connected with God, and to make certain that our life is always about glorifying God, and to realize constantly then is that Jesus Christ gave His life in order for us to be sanctified as children of God. But also, sanctification requires consecration. True consecration demands commitment, and it denotes loyalty. As we think in regard to this, what does it mean? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, it means that as we live our life here, that we are to walk constantly in the fellowship of our God. Well, what does it mean to walk in fellowship with God? It means that as we live here, good people, is that we allow nothing to get in our way of truly living for God until death. This is what is taught in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Remain faithful unto death and you will receive a crown of righteousness or of life. Good people, in this, it means that whenever we are baptized into Christ, we put our hands to the plow, and those who put their hands to the plow, as Jesus taught in the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, should not turn back. Why? Because whenever they turn back, they're not going to be able to plow in a manner, as the illustration gives, they're not going to be able to live in a way that will be pleasing unto God. They're going to be swerving as they go throughout life. They're not going to be totally committed to God. They're not going to be loyal to God. They're going to be loyal to whatever it is, the moment, and the things that's going to make them happy versus the things that's going to be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. How does God feel about those individuals who put their hands to the plow and they turn back? Good people, we are given an explanation of this in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, where John received, while he was exiled at Patmos, by way of inspiration, this message. He said, because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God says that lukewarm Christians make Him sick to His stomach. It's not indeed the way that He wants. Why? Because God loves us. But yet at the same time, if we do not love God the way that He loves us,
then we're going to make God sick. Why? Because we're not going to live to the level that God commands, expects, and knows that we can live to. In fact, we are also taught in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22 that only those who endure to the end will be saved. And so people, I don't want to be a Christian today and yet at the same time by claim only and then be lost in eternity. I want to claim to be a Christian and live to be a Christian so that whenever I stand before God in judgment, that indeed I will be saved. And I trust that you are the same way. We need to make certain that we live our lives in a consecrated manner before God. Good people, as we think in regard to living a life that is committed to God, oftentimes, no doubt, we know that there are problems that would arise. And I believe that we find that there is not truly consecration of a person's life or the life of Christians whenever missionaries have to come home from mission fields because of a lack of funds, whenever the majority here in the United States live our lives in seemingly a luxurious lifestyle, but also whenever Sunday evening attendance is half that of what it is on Sunday mornings, or whenever people complain about the length of a sermon, or in this then, whenever a ball game, we're in March Madness, right? Whenever a ball game runs into overtime. They cheer and they're so happy that the game's in overtime, but whenever the preacher goes long, they have something to say about that. For our commitment to the kingdom and responsibilities to the kingdom conflict with our social calendar. And the social calendar always wins out. Good people, therein is a lack of consecration towards our God. In these things, God tells us that in order for us to truly be committed to Him, in order for you and me to have the type of loyalty that will be pleasing to God, we need to have self-denial. We need to realize that we are involved in a cause that is so much greater than us. And for this reason, good people, we need to deny ourselves and to carry the cross that God lays before us. And what does this require? It requires so much so a very personal sacrifice. Well, what does God have in mind whenever He speaks in reference to sacrifice? He means a surrendering. It means the giving over of stuff. It means that we totally commit ourselves and that we say, no matter what it costs me, no matter what it means, I'm going to make certain that I live my life for God and that God receives the glory and honor in everything. And that as I'm reaching out into the world, that the world knows that truly I am a Christian. We need to give forth a personal sacrifice each and every day and to make certain good people as we live here and as we claim to be a Christian, that we practice endless discipleship. Well, what does it mean to be practicing endless discipleship? To be a disciple of Christ is to be a follower of Christ. And in order for us to be a follower of Christ, we learn from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abide in him ought also so to walk, even as he walked. What we need to do is the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says that he learned throughout the course of his life that as he lived his life, he sacrificed himself. He crucified himself. And that Jesus Christ was seen living in and throughout the course of his life. So much so that as he wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 6 to 8, he told him, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand." And he goes on to say, he says, "For I know that there is a reward that is laid up for me in heaven, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, but not unto me only, but unto all those who love His appearing." What is it that Paul is saying? Paul says, "I finally learned what it meant to be committed to Christ." And he says, "I understood as I went on throughout the course of my life what it meant to be loyal to Christ." And that was to make certain that everything that his life was focused upon, everything that his life centered in and around, that Christ was at the very middle of all of that. And good people, you and I need to do likewise, to live our lives in a consecration manner, in a way that we know will be pleasing to God. You see, sanctification also requires that you and I practice purification. God expects His children to conform to the image of our God, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29.
For years in the Lord's church, we have preached and teached, and rightly so, forgiveness. And whenever people are baptized into Christ, that they receive the forgiveness of sin. But yet at the same time, I think that we have done a poor job from time to time about stressing the need for holiness. That people who put Christ on in baptism, that now they must be committed to Christ by living their life in a holy manner, in a way that certainly will be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. God says, "For I am holy." Verse 17, "Be ye holy as I am holy." God commands us to be holy. And good people understand, in all of that, today as I stand before you, I know that without question, that does not mean that we're going to live our lives in a perfect manner. In fact, it's taught in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and verse 10, that if a man thinks that he does not sin, he deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. In fact, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 25, exclaims here that he himself, an apostle, a member of the body of Christ, a man who was forgiven of his sin, still struggled with sin. The things that he knew not to do, he found himself doing. And good people, you and I, in like figure, you and I will be like that. Well, what does it mean then that we are to live our lives towards purification in a holy manner? Good people, Paul says as much in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, that we are not to allow sin to have dominion over us. Is that it grieves us whenever we do fall short. And based out of that grief then, that we're not guilty of recommitting the same types of sin over and over and over again. You see, sanctification is a state. It begins whenever we become a New Testament Christian. Sanctification begins whenever you and I confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. Sanctification begins not just within the confession, but whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. God forgives us. We are sanctified in God's eyes. He sets us apart for a different life. He sets us apart for a higher calling. He sets us apart for work and service in His kingdom. In all of this, whenever we are baptized into Christ, we become a child of God, and we are set apart from the world who does not know God as those who are a part of the kingdom. In these things, God says that sanctification is indeed a state. But yet at the same time, from a biblical standpoint, God says that sanctification is a process. Note what He says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. He says, "Just as you presented your bodies unto sin, a slave unto sin, now present your bodies as slaves unto righteousness." Well, good people, in that present, it's future tense. It's present tense with future action. What's He mean? He says that we need to continue to present ourselves wholly before God. It means that as we go throughout the course of life, as Christians, that we do not become Sunday morning Christians and think that we have arrived. It does not mean that as we go throughout the course of our life, that we think that I've been a Christian for so many years, and because I've been a Christian for so many years, that God's going to be pleased with me. And we become complacent. We become self-satisfied. It does not mean that because we have been raised in the church and our roots are tied to the church, that we've had family members a part of the church at East End, or maybe not even at East End, we've got family members who are members of the church universally. And based out of that, that we think that God is going to grant unto us salvation. Good people, that's not the way in which God looks at us. God says, yes, He recognizes the fact that we were sanctified initially whenever we were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins ourselves. But He says that we must continue to walk. We must continue to grow. We must continue to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We must continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And good people, if we do not, then the Bible tells us that in reality we're not sanctified. Let you and me do all that we can to love the Lord God,
And to demonstrate that love God that we must have for God by sanctifying God in our hearts and always being ready to give an answer or defense to anyone who asks us for the hope that is within us. And today I ask you as we close, what is your heart telling you right now? You see, we began by saying the heart plays a very important role in who we are, and the heart plays a very significant part in our obeying the gospel, in our being the type of people that God wants us to be. And this morning, maybe you're sitting out there in the audience and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, and your heart's telling you, you know, you're not right with God. You know, God's telling you at the same time, yes, you're not right, but at the same time, you don't have to walk out these doors in that same condition. You see, God's given His Son. He's given you an opportunity. And He's going to forgive you the same in which He forgives every Christian if you will obey Him by confessing Christ and submitting yourself to be baptized. And then you will be sanctified. But at the same time, keep working for that sanctification throughout the course of your life.